Good morning and greetings in Christ's name. It is a privilege to be gathered together with the Word of Life in our hands this morning to give us instruction for life. I trust that as you've been here this morning, your anticipation for heaven has already been heightened as we ponder the glories that await us. I know there's a certain trepidation that goes with that, but I think the Scriptures are clear enough that we have a lot in store for us as children of the King, children of Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Glenn mentioned that he'll let me do the introduction, so I guess I'll just tell you a little bit. My name is Jonathan Martin, and we live at Faith Mission. My wife was Lavana Yoder, and her mother was Mary Ann Chupp, daughter of Bill and Esther, from that used to go here. My first recollections of Weavertown, I think, are back in the late 90s. I was helping Dave and Gina Stahlsfuss with some relief milking several evenings a week. And I think he invited me to a Christmas program that you were having here. I think it was entitled Silent Night, and I still see the CDs around today of that recording. And when I would drive into the farm two nights a week, when I would pull in, and my headlights would shine on the barn there at Dave and Gina, and there was a sign on the corner of the barn that said, "Maybe today." I don't know if it's still there, but it spoke to me. At that point in my life, it was before I ever went to Faith Mission, and I wasn't necessarily living the way I should have been. And every evening, I would see the sign, and it would say, "Maybe today." And it was a call to me to make my life ready for glory. So through that and a number of other events, I recommitted my life, and I went to Faith Mission in 2001, and my wife and I were married in 2003, and we made that our home there at Faith Mission. And it's about 6 years ago that I came back, that I started working at the home as assistant administrator, doing the bookkeeping and the accounting. All right, well, with that behind us, I invite you to the Word of God this morning. We're going to look at St. John chapter 17, so you can open your Bibles to St. John chapter 17. And I found it fascinating that you are studying in Sunday school, and you probably spent some time studying through this in the very recent weeks, so hopefully it won't be too much review, but I'd like to just point out a number of things from this passage, and we want to take notice that we are stepping into history here, stepping into the life of Jesus Christ as he is approaching the cross. This is the last, I guess probably close to the last week of his life, and we often refer to this as Jesus' high priestly prayer, Jesus' prayer to his Father, and it's fascinating to read and observe and learn some lessons about how Jesus prayed and how he communicated with the Father. And he was approaching the cross. So I'm going to read verses, chapter 17, the first 11 verses. I want to point out a question for us that I want you to ponder, and then we're going to make some application here. John 17, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Holy Father, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. All right, we'll stop there. Jesus continues his prayer. We're just going to look at the first 11 verses this morning. And I want to highlight verse 4 this morning and ask you the question, how could Jesus say, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, but yet he hadn't gone to the cross yet? There was still a work that was coming. There was still something laying ahead of him, but Jesus in his prayer to his Father says, I have finished the work that thou hast called me to do. Let's think about it like this. We're all at least somewhat familiar with planting a garden. So if you want to plant a garden and you start thinking about this, what are some of the first things you're going to do? You're not going to go out to the garden with your basket intending to pick string beans first thing. There's a number of things that need to happen before you're going to go out and pick string beans in your basket. First, the soil needs to be prepared. And when the soil is prepared, the seeds need to be planted. Now, you prepared your soil, you've tilled your ground, or if you're back doing the back to Eden gardening, you've put your compost on your garden, you planted your seeds, and you're finished. You can't really do a whole lot more. You can't go out, there's no point in going out and starting to hoe the garden. You just planted it. You need to give it some time. But are you finished? Well, no, you're not really finished, but for now, you've finished what you needed to do. You give it a couple of weeks, and there's some attention that it needs. You're going to need to get out there and do some weeding, do some hilling, and put forth some effort, and you have some work to do. Once that's finished, have you finished your work? Well, you've sort of. You're finished. You're up to date with what needs to be done now, and you're finished, but there's some more coming. And I believe that's kind of how we can look at this passage here, what Jesus is saying. He was current. He was up to date with what the Lord had, with what his Father had for him to do. He was current, and he had finished the work. He's talking primarily about the work of bringing the gospel of salvation to the world. And he's saying he's finished that part, even though there was some more coming later. He had finished his work. And I believe that for us today, finishing our work is a daily project. It's something that we do each day. As each day unfolds, there's a work for us to do, and it's God's intent for us to live that day to the fullest. And Carlin has already talked about that. He gave a good introduction to some of the things I wanted to talk about as well. And we have, as humans, this tendency to want to look down the road and be considering and be worrying maybe about what's down there. Well, don't worry about the sweat that you're going to sweat when you're picking those beans when you're planting them. That's coming later. Let's think about planting them when it's the time to plant them. So, look at what God has for you today and spend your energies there. It was fascinating, a comment that was made in Sunday school. Jesus, the light of the world, was in the dark garden the night in Gethsemane when the people came with torches in the darkness trying to find him. He was the light of the world, but it wasn't at that point. He wasn't necessarily shining the light specifically. I mean, he was in a dark place. So his time for shining wasn't right at that moment necessarily. I mean, he did in a way. And then also, it was interesting that when, was it Pilate or Caiaphas asked him some questions and he didn't answer. He said, ask the others, they'll say. I thought Jesus came to give the message of life. The time wasn't right then. He had done his part earlier. And the time wasn't right for him to go into a big long dialogue about what he was here for. So there are certain things in life that we're called to do now, some things that we're called to do later, and the challenge this morning for us is to live in the moment. And that's what I titled the message, Living in This Moment, thinking about what God wants us to do right now. So we want to take some time to look at the scripture here and make some application. So I'm seeing in the first four verses, I kind of like to take them as a group, the first four verses, Jesus is talking to his Father here, and he's talking about the fact that he has accomplished this thing of bringing eternal life to the world. And life eternal, what is life eternal? It's knowing Jesus Christ, the Son, that was sent from the Father. And as he's communicating there, I'm seeing something going on. There's some dialogue going on there, and that speaks to me of relationship. So Jesus was communicating with the Father, and if we're communicating with someone, have a relationship with someone, there's a number of things that need to happen. First of all, we're going to be talking to them. We're going to know something about them, so that means we're going to have listened to them as well. So it means communication. It means us doing some talking. It means us doing some listening as well. And we see that all through Jesus' life. We see him going to the garden to pray. We see him going to get alone, to meditate. And we see him obviously knowing the scriptures well because he used them many times as he talked to the scribes and the elders. So I believe that Jesus spent time studying the word just like any other Jewish boy did. Now, I'm guessing it was a lot easier for him, maybe. Maybe God gave him special abilities. It says he grew in wisdom and knowledge, or stature and wisdom. But I believe that Jesus spent time in the Word because he had it ready whenever there was an opportunity. So, a number of applications here in these first four verses in this idea of having a relationship with the Father, prayer and meditation, taking time to be alone with God, thinking about him, and the idea of reading his word and understanding what God's heart is and listening to God, whether it's through his word or whether it's through the people that you interact with in life. Sometimes, like Carla mentioned, the children speak to us in loud ways, in big ways, as they remind us of the things of God. All right, let's look at verse 5. He says, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Now, we want to be humble and that kind of thing. We don't want to try to bring glory to ourselves. But I think sometimes it's okay to say thank you, maybe to a compliment or something like that, if we are intending to channel the glory back to God. And as I guess the question here is, is my life really evidencing the glory of God? Not that we're trying to bring glory to ourselves, but the things that we do they point to the glory of God? A desire for my life to point people to God's glory and his excellence. So we're not saying glorify me, but we're saying it in the way, we're saying it as Jesus was saying glorify me as God's Son. But as we say, whatever good you're seeing in my life, glorify Jesus Christ because of it, because it's only of him. You know, Isaiah says all our righteousness is only filthy rags, so it's really nothing of ourselves. But as God gives us opportunity, and as we honor his name, and people bless us for that, we channel that glory back to God, and we say, glorify thou Jesus Christ. In verse 6, he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. And I like to think here about the idea of, what does it mean to manifest something? It means to show or to make clear. So Jesus says, I manifested the name of the Father. What are you doing as you journey through your life? Is Jesus Christ and is God the Father being manifested, being shown, being displayed to the people within your scope of reference? He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Now, that's another idea, another thought. He didn't reach just terribly far geographically in his life, but within his scope of reference, the people that God had placed in his scope of reference, he manifested the name of the Father to them. And that's the challenge for us. The people that are within your scope of reference, are they seeing Jesus Christ through you? Is your life manifesting the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ? Now in verse 7, he says, "And now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee." And here we have another beautiful concept. Jesus Christ is saying, anything that I was able to do, anything that happened through my life, was because you, the Father, has given it to me. And I like to call that maybe deflecting the glory. Here again, it kind of ties in with verse 5, I think it was. As people see things in our lives, who gets the credit for the things that happen in our lives? Are we returning that glory back to God? Who gets the credit for the good that the accomplishments in your life? And then in verse 8, he says, "I have given them." Jesus says, "I have given them the words which thou gavest me." And I'd like to think of that as ourselves, as us as children of God, being conveyors of God's message. Jesus says, "I have given them the words that you gave me." The words that Jesus gives to us. Are we accurately passing on the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? In the book of Jeremiah, there were false prophets out there who were saying, it's okay, our worship system, our false gods, our idols, it's okay. And God told Jeremiah, go and tell them the truth. Speak the truth to them. And Jeremiah did not have an easy life. He spent his message of God's truth was not accepted very well in his time. In fact, he spent some time, what was it, in a pit, in a deep well, and in prison, because he was effectively conveying the message of God. And I think that's a lesson for us as well today, to be conveyors of the message of God. Jesus said, "I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." In verse 8, we have a beautiful lesson there. Verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world." And this is a lesson for us. Are you a praying person? Are you praying for the people that God brings into your life, especially your fellow Christians? Here Jesus is saying, I have prayed for these people that you have given me, that you will keep them from, even though they're going to be staying in the world for a time, that you would keep them from the world. And then verse 10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I like to think about the idea of recognizing the idea of stewardship. All of the things that God brings into our lives, all of the things that He blesses us, whether it's the gifts or the talents, or whether it's materially, financially, that kind of thing, can we say with Jesus, all of mine is thine? You know, we tend to hold on pretty tightly to things in life, and I can't help but remember when I was a boy, my niece and nephew both had a horse, and both of their horses had a foal. And they took great care of these two foals, and they were anticipating. I spent a lot of time with them. They were close to my age, and we were anticipating when these foals would be raised and would be trained, and we'd have these two beautiful young horses to ride. And one night there was a thunderstorm during the night, and something happened that the one beautiful Palomino, just I don't know, maybe a half year old, somehow spooked and ran into the fence and broke its leg, and they had to put it down. And it was sad because we had high expectations for what's going to happen. And I remember telling my niece that, well, Job said the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and we'll just continue to bless His name. And it was a lesson in life. God places things into our hands, and we need to hold our hands out openly and use the things that He puts there to His glory, but also know that they are His, and He does have the right to lift them out and do what He wants with them. Now, I'm sure that some of you that have lost loved ones and that kind of thing understand how difficult that can be. But I believe that's God's heart. And verse 11, he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but those are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." And I'd like to think of this as having a heart for the eternal well-being of our fellow men. And again, especially, Jesus is referring primarily, I believe, to his disciples and the people of God here, and he prays for them and all those who will come after, so it includes you and me today as well. But I'd like to just highlight that, you know, in our independent age today, we can really do a lot of things by ourselves. And I was really challenged here a few months back. We had a brothers' meeting, and one of the youth said at the meeting that he would really welcome us older people coming to him and asking him how he's doing and initiating dialogue. And that's one of my goals, to do more of that. But that's the question and the challenge this morning. What are you doing to initiate that relationship and that care for one another as brothers and sisters in your congregation? And I know different churches have all kinds of different things set up to encourage that, but you can set up all kinds of programs to try to make that happen, but it really comes back to me. What am I doing? Am I taking the time to step aside and ask somebody, how are things going? What's been happening in your life? Or am I too busy running my program to take time to initiate and engage? And I'd just like to challenge each one of us, if you're sitting here today, or if you're going through life wishing that you could have more of that interaction and that closeness and wondering why someone doesn't come to you and just talk to you, start looking this way. You do something. You go do it. Make it happen. If you're a young person, don't be afraid to go to a middle-aged or older person and say, hey, would you mind being kind of be accountable to you and we'd touch base every couple months and talk about life? Or if you're an older person, go find a young person who you can do that for. I've found that to be a huge blessing. That's one of the highlights of my experience at Faith Mission, interacting with the dedicated young people that come to Faith Mission and hearing their hearts and walking beside them and sharing the journey together with them. Who is responsible to initiate this? You, each one of us. It's our responsibility. So just a little bit of a recap of some of these things we went over. We spoke about relationship, our relationship with the Father. That's one of the lessons we want to learn here. We want to remember this idea of deflecting the glory. As people see God's glory evidenced in our lives, it's not, we don't need to try to push it off and say, oh, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Just thank them for that and direct them back to the Father. Deflect the glory. And then being conveyors of truth. God has given us so much. We have the Word right here. We have lessons in life. Convey the truth that God gives us, and then be lovers of people as we reach out to those around us. I'd like just to take us to Colossians for just a couple of verses there. These two verses here in Colossians chapter 2 sort of tie into this idea we're thinking about as we think of having everything that we need to do what God is calling us to do right now. And that's a lesson I hope maybe you've picked up this morning as the children, as the staff and residents were up here singing. They didn't necessarily, I'm sure some of you could have done some of those parts better than they could have. And sometimes you might be called on to do something that you know someone else can do quite a bit better than you can. But God is asking you to do it, or the church is asking you to do it, and God is giving you that opportunity to practice your gift that you've been given. Are you willing to step up to the plate and give it your best? Because I believe that we have everything that we need to accomplish what God wants us to do today. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. And that verse troubled me. It was actually the theme verse for Camp Week at Faith Mission in 2002, and I was staff there, and I said, I talked to one of the administration about this, and I said, now, how can we say that we are complete in Christ? Because I said, I feel like I've got a long way to go yet. And he gave me a beautiful example that I'd like to pass on to you this morning. If you think of an apple tree in the springtime, and there is some blossoms on that apple tree, is that apple blossom an apple? Well, not really. It's not really an apple. It's a blossom. Is that apple blossom complete? It's complete. Everything that is necessary to be, everything that needs to be there in that apple blossom is there. And as that apple blossom continues to receive nourishment from the branch connected to the branch, or the vine, as John says it in John 15, as it is connected and as it receives its nourishment, that apple blossom continues to develop and become more mature in its, in what it is. But it's not really an apple yet, but it's complete. And I believe that's how it is in our experience. As we maintain our relationship with God and as we seek God's face, we have what we need to live in Christ Jesus today. We're not where we're hoping to be in 10 years from now, maybe. The apple blossom isn't an apple yet either, but it's complete in what it is today. And as it continues to grow, it turns into something more and becomes even more useful as it continues to grow. I like to close with the words of the song that says, "When I lay my head upon my pillow tonight, may I have the peace of knowing that what I've tried to do was right." We can't do it all, but God gives us opportunities as we journey through life. I want to bless you for the opportunities that you've taken to farther the kingdom, and encourage you to continue doing that. Pray for us, and we will attempt to do that at Faith Mission too as we journey through life. Do you kneel for prayer sometimes? Let's kneel together and have a word of prayer. Father, again, it's our privilege to be gathered here in the name of Jesus Christ this morning and to have the Word of Life open before us. We thank you for your Word. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for coming to this world and showing us the way. We thank you that you have manifested the Father to us. And we pray that you would guide us as we journey through life, that we could be conveyors of truth, that we could demonstrate who Jesus Christ is to the world around us. And Lord, even though sometimes we feel inadequate for the things that you call us to do, we recognize that you have given us all things necessary to live in Christ Jesus today and to accomplish the things that you have put on our plate for this day. So we pray that you would give us the strength. We invite your Holy Spirit to dwell in us and empower us to live godly in Christ Jesus. We pray for the congregation here. We ask your blessing on the folks at Weavertown. We pray also that you would guide the group as we travel to New Jersey this afternoon. We pray that you would guide us as we continue our journey on. May you help us to be faithful and give us a real anticipation for the glory that awaits us, but enough of reality to spur us onward to living our lives to the fullest today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.